Some might lack assurance because they can't accept forgiveness. They can't accept forgiveness. They really are tyrannized by their emotions, feeling they're too bad to be saved. There's just too much garbage in their mind. There's just too much sin that they can't get rid of. I always remember a story my father used to tell about a man who came to his pastor and he was concerned about all of the sin in his life. And so he said, I don't know how bad a sinner I really am. And so the pastor said, well, every time you consciously commit a sin, go hammer a nail in the barn door. And I don't know how long it was before the man came back and said, there's no more room for nails. And he said, now, if you want to understand the forgiveness of God, it's like pulling all the nails out. And the man was able to lead, the pastor was able to lead the man to Christ. And he said, now, every time you do something in your life, I want you to go to the barn and pull one nail out. Well, many months went by. Little by little, the nails came out. And one day he said to the pastor, the nails are out. And the pastor said, isn't that wonderful? He said, no, the holes are still there. And there are some people who don't get over the holes, you know, all the scars of the past. This is because there's a reason for it. This is because conscience speaks against forgiveness. It really does. I mean, it is the essence of conscience to berate you. It is the essence of conscience to accuse you. It is the essence of conscience to hold you up before the bar of God as wanting. That's what God designed your conscience to do. Your conscience never should let you off the hook. Your conscience is not designed to mollify or pacify you, and it does not go away when you become a Christian. In fact, it functions after you've been saved better than it did before. Because it was purged and purified, the Bible says. And it's clean now, and it's clear. And it has a function, and that function is to waken your heart to sin. And it will never let you off the hook. Conscience knows nothing of forgiveness. The more you're exposed to the preaching of the Word of God, the more you're exposed to the law of God, the more you know about sin, the more active your conscience is, and the more your conscience berates you in a relentless fashion and yields nothing to the issue of forgiveness, the more possible it is for you to feel the loss of assurance. By the way, your conscience knows nothing about mercy, and that's good. God will give you mercy, your conscience won't. It is relentless in plaguing you about your iniquity, and you can be thankful for it, right? Lest you plummet into destructive sin in an unfeeling way. The law of God knows nothing of forgiveness. The law of God knows nothing of forgiveness. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the law is a standard which holds you to it and sentences you to death for every violation. There is no law, there is no mercy, I should say, in the law of God. There is no grace in the law of God. There is no forgiveness in the law of God. The law of God simply says, do this or die. Do this or die. When you hear the law of God proclaimed, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, whether it's the Mosaic law of God or whether it's the moral principles that are related to us in the Psalms or whether it's the ethics and the righteous characteristics that are unfolded throughout the Old Testament or whether it's the standard of Jesus Christ, the commands of Jesus, or whether it's the inspired teaching of the apostles that lay upon us spiritual responsibility, the law of God is the law of God. And inherent in that law, there is no forgiveness. The law kills. The law slays. The law knows nothing about excuses. Not only does conscience relentlessly hammer without forgiveness, not only does the law of God relentlessly accuse without ever excusing, but divine justice also is relentless. And divine justice knows nothing of forgiveness either. When a person then is exposed to conscience, the law of God, the standard of divine justice, It can be an overwhelming tyranny that can impact the emotion so that one feels too evil to be saved. But what, after all, is the heart of the gospel? That when your conscience has damned you, and the law of God has damned you, and the justice of God has damned you, the work of Christ graciously redeems you, right? And if you hang on to the condemnation of conscience and the condemnation of law and the condemnation of divine justice and do not yield to the great grace of God, the mercy of God in the provision of Jesus Christ, then you have willingly crowned the devil king rather than Christ. Because you now say, law rules, conscience rules, justice rules, guilt rules, condemnation rules, rather than grace rules, mercy rules. Faith brings forgiveness. One Puritan writer put it this way, "He that lacks assurance converses too much with Satan, as he that has the assurance of God's love converses with Christ, the Spirit bearing witness to him that he is a child of God. So he that lacks assurance converses with Satan, and Satan, though falsely, bears witness to his spirit that he is not a child of God. And is it not a misery to be in these converses with Satan and to be under his hellish droppings? The devil is always following and tempting me to suspect the love of Christ, to be suspicious of grace, to distrust mercy. And the more suspicious I am of the love and grace and mercy of God, the more I embrace Satan's love." Puritan writer says, "The truth is, beloved, this lack of assurance of God's love or personal interest in Christ is an inlet to many sins and miseries. For first a man doubts of his own salvation, afterwards he has continued doubting. Then he rises up into a full conclusion saying, now that I know that Christ does not love me, I did but doubt before, but now I know he does not love me. And after he has risen to this conclusion, then shortly he rises higher and he goes further and says, thus, if Christ does not love me now, he will never love me, and if I have not an interest in Christ now, after all the preaching and believing of my life and all the ordinances of I have enjoyed, I shall never have that interest in Christ, and so the longer I live, the more I aggravate my condemnation." Stop that process. Let the law do its work. It is a schoolmaster to drive us to Christ. Let conscience do its work. It is to prevent us from sin by inducing pain over iniquity. Let the justice of God do its work, and that is to make us thankful for forgiveness and grace. Both strong preaching of the holiness of God and the requirements that He lays before us and the refusal to accept forgiveness caused people to have a lack of assurance.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Thanks for listening.